gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation.
May we always dwell on this land with respect and peace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, is the light of the world. May your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Une lecture du prophète Isaïe. A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Écoutez-moi, vous les îles. Soyez attentives, population du lointain. Le Seigneur m'a appelé dès le sein maternel, dès le ventre de ma mère. Il s'est répété mon nom. Il a disposé ma bouche comme une épée pointue. Dans l'ombre de sa main, il m'a dissimulé. Il m'a disposé comme une flèche acérée. Dans son carquois, il m'a tenu caché. Il m'a dit, « Mon serviteur, c'est toi, Israël, toi par qui je manifesterai ma splendeur. » Mais moi, je disais, « C'est en vain que je me suis fatigué. C'est pour du vide, c'est pour du vent que j'ai épuisé mon énergie. » En fait, mon droit m'attendait auprès du Seigneur, ma récompense auprès de mon Dieu. À présent, en effet, le Seigneur a parlé, lui qui m'a formé dans le sein maternel pour être son serviteur, afin de ramener Jacob vers lui, afin qu'Israël soit pour lui regroupé. Dès lors, j'ai du poids aux yeux du Seigneur et ma puissance, c'est mon Dieu. Il m'a dit, c'est trop peu que tu sois pour moi un serviteur en relevant les tribus de Jacob et en ramenant les préservés d'Israël. Je t'ai destiné à être la lumière des nations, afin que mon salut soit présent jusqu'à l'extrémité de la terre. Ainsi parle le Seigneur, le Rédempteur et le Saint d'Israël, à celui dont la personne est méprisée et que le monde regarde comme un être abject. À l'esclave des despotes. Des rois verront et se lèveront, des princes aussi, et ils se prosterneront par égard pour le Seigneur qui est fidèle, pour le Saint d'Israël qui t'a choisi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second reading is a reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all of those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus, who, for in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
According to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon Peter to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Words of truth be spoken and only words of truth be heard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today I invite you to reflect upon the simple question that Jesus posed to John's disciples in the Gospel reading today. What are you looking for? It's a question that faith asks all of us, and that we are all in the process of answering every time we come to church and every time we try to connect our faith with the events of our day-to-day lives. What are you looking for? It's like the stone dropped in the water of our lives, causing ripples, whether we're aware of it or not. Because whether we're aware of it or not, we are all looking for something. And we may put it in different words, depending on the situation, depending on our experience, depending on our hopes and dreams. But especially when it comes to matters of faith, I believe that we are looking for the same thing. The fundamental dynamic between our God who asks, what are you looking for? And us who are forever looking, which is called the call and response of love. All that our God does is designed to help us find love. God created the world that love may be revealed. Jesus came among us that love may be revealed. John preached, Isaiah prophesied that love might be revealed. The Spirit called you to come here this morning that love might be revealed. Now, there are lots of ways of looking at scriptures or thinking of the divine plan or even understanding who Jesus is. Lots of ways, but they all come down to that primary purpose of revealing love. God reveals love by embracing those who feel lost or alienated, by removing the weight of shame that results from brokenness in human relations, by filling the void, soothing the ache, inhabiting the emptiness, by standing with those who face conflict and injustice, by outlasting and overcoming suffering. God is revealing his love in all those ways. God's love comes in response to these very real needs. As we say in this season, an epiphany, a showing forth, a revealing of love in response to whatever dilemma people face. God moves to reveal, to move the veil, open the veil that hides love from our sight. It's a pretty vast veil when you think of all that goes on in life around us, in our own lives, that involves the masking of people's needs or the settling for deceptive or inadequate solutions to those needs. So there's a great need for this revealing, this making manifest by God in so many ways of how that love is already at work. Not many of us, I suspect, can identify with Isaiah's experience of being called to be a light to the nations, or perhaps you do relate to that, or to John the Baptist, you know, proclaiming that he has heard a voice that has sent him to proclaim love. How many of us would even relate to Paul, who was called to go out and found new Christian communities? Maybe not many of us. And yet, I think it's the same dynamic at work in those people that is at work in our lives, who might not consider ourselves the great witnesses that they were. But even in the life of Jesus, that love seeks to be revealed, first by calling us, then by nurturing us, and eventually by sending us, so that we become channels of love that seeks to be revealed, to be made manifest in the world around us. We can all cause ripples of faith. Now, perhaps surprisingly, all of this is in the works around us and in us before we even become aware of it. The reading from Isaiah, he talked about having been called even from his mother's womb. It may feel like we begin the process of seeking faith when we start asking questions or start looking for something to help us make sense of the world. But in fact, even our questions and our searching are already a response to the deep desire that God puts in our hearts to know love more fully. Even our prayers in times of trouble arise not so much from the situation itself as from God at work within the situation, finding ways to reveal that love is already present there. One of the things that these characters we heard about today have in common is that God does not leave them where he finds them when he calls. Love always pushes and pulls and stretches and seduces believers to go beyond their current awareness and their capacity for love, often to achieve things they would never have thought possible. We know this to be true in our relationships with parents, with children, spouses, siblings, colleagues, friends. They demand more from us than we can necessarily give easily. And we find ourselves having to dig deeper to find the patience, the understanding, the encouragement, whatever the situation requires. And in so doing, in that digging, we increase our capacity to show forth the love that is needed, like the ripples in the water reaching out beyond the initial point of contact. The ripples spread a bit farther every time. While all that may sound fine on the level of ideas, it really is true that love can call us to do difficult things, to speak out when we disagree, to take action that involves effort and sacrifice, to dedicate time and resources to activities that help bring love to those in need. Being stretched by love is not always comfortable. It can point us in new and unfamiliar directions and can lead us to call into question things that we have always assumed. So it can ask us to look at and respond to some situations differently. It asks us how we can make ripples, and it's not always that evident. But our God coming to be revealed as love is what Epiphany means. How love gets revealed each and every day, maybe in ways we least expect and in ways we would sometimes rather avoid, but in the very concrete situations of our lives. The challenge of faith to each of us, I believe, is to ask, how can we cause ripples as we look for love to be revealed? And I'm going to ask on Patrick to come forward and read a poem that he just read to me this morning that seemed to put in beautiful words the kind of challenge and the kind of promise that we hear in these readings this morning.
A poem about faith. At first, faith stirs unseen, breathing quietly in the hush before dawn. The world still sleeps, yet something within leans forward, listening for light, trusting what eyes cannot yet see. A flame is born, small but steady. It falters in the wind, sways in the dark, and still it endures. Doubt circles, but does not consume it. Each flicker becomes proof, not of certainty, but of persistence. Faith does not shout. It hums through the slow unfolding of courage. In time, it settles into silence, no longer seeking witness or reason. It simply is, a warmth that remains after the storm passes. Even empty hands hold something whole, the quiet knowing that light was never gone, only waiting to be noticed again.
Thank you.
Loving God, you call us to be a light to the nations. Fill us with your welcoming spirit of truth, that we may faithfully teach, baptize, and nurture those who come to believe in you. As you came to serve and not to be served, fill us with the compassion and insight to respond to human need by loving service. Let us pray to the Lord. On the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love. And work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth, that in your good time, all nations and races may serve you in harmony. Teach us to love people just as they are and embrace their identity fully, as you have embraced us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We pray for the church, remembering Shane, our primate, Anne, our metropolitan, and all who minister at St. John's. We pray for the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we prepare to elect a new bishop, for those discerning a call to let their name stand for election, for the candidates, for members of synod, and for our diocesan administrator, Bishop Michael Byrd. In our diocese, we uphold the parish of St. Paul's Elmont. We remember our partners in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Canada and the Moravian Church in Canada. We pray for the staff at Ascension House, and we uphold our community ministries. Let us pray to the Lord. People, for places where there is war or famine, remembering especially Ukraine and Gaza. Restore to new life the places in this world that suffer from conflict and are deaf to the message of peace. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We lift up Charles, our king, Mark, our prime minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud, our local mayors, and all in authority. Let us pray to the Lord. For the healing of minds and hearts, that the healing touch of Jesus will restore us and give us new hope. We pray for health and wholeness for those who are sick and suffering in body, mind, or spirit. We uphold in our prayers Ian, Doug, Alice, and David. Let us pray to the Lord. Pray for those who have died in your peace, that they may sing your praises without ceasing for all eternity. On this day, we remember and give thanks for the life and witness of Hendrik Sire, Richard Clark, father of Karen Marks, and Maura Beecher. Rest eternal grant unto them, O Lord. And we pray for those who mourn. Let us pray to the Lord. God, we pray that we may bear the fruit of your Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Take firm root in our lives so that we may lovingly serve and welcome all with no exceptions. Help us to live together in your world and in your love and shine as lights in the darkness to reveal your glory in the world.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Lord, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Glory, God.
Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and strengthen you and guide you today and always. Amen.
Serve the Lord.